Man, it is a good day to be alive, isn't it? Okay, that was seven of you. Don't be that person. You're that person who didn't respond to that when it's like, can I pray for you? And you're like, no, I'm good. I have my full. Thank you. I'm good. Isn't it a good day to be alive? Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, it's a good day to be alive. And I got to be honest, I feel like this is the best time in history to be alive. Isn't it awesome out there? It's awesome out there. Oh my goodness, it's awesome out there. People are mad at each other. Yeah. The church is still segregated racially. Awesome. Right? We still don't quite know what we're doing. Yes. What a great time to be alive. Social media is bugging out than ever before. Isn't it awesome? Doesn't it just fill you with grace and truth and love? Yeah. Isn't it a great time to be alive? You know why? Because this is what you asked for. Isn't it? Because I bet you have spent time like this. God, use me. Oh, God. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You don't know what hallowed means. Father, God, use me. God, may I be a light to the nations. And you can't talk to your neighbor. I'm talking about myself, by the way. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, isn't this what we asked for? So do you find yourself complaining more? Or do you find yourself meditating on ways that you can be light? Because this is what you asked for. You asked, God, use me. You know what he said? Yep, there you go. Go do it. But then you're like, well, Lord, wait, let me fast for 40 days. Let me fast for 40 days and decide if you want me to do ministry cross-culturally. God, I'm going to fast for 40 days and pray. God, do you want me to cross cultures? Lord, do you want me to be generous with my life? God, do you want me to do things that scare me? I just don't know, God. I mean, come on. Just be honest with each other. We don't have a whole lot of time today. All right, let's just keep it real. Isn't it kind of like that? Right? I know it's like that because here we are at this wonderful time to be alive. Right? And I think sometimes the struggle that we feel, even as people who follow Jesus, is that we see it out in a world that's lost, but then we kind of come to church and we still see it. Ugh, that feels weird, right? I mean, doesn't that feel kind of creepy? You're like, but I thought this was the light of the world. Right? And that's why we're like, what is going on, God? What is going on? But I guarantee you, I'm going to tell you right now, the first place to start is with yourself. Check yourself. What are you praying? What are you doing? What are you singing? You know, I was sitting here during worship. Thank you all for worship, by the way, worship team. I was sitting here. I'm listening to all this stuff. There's a slide. Hey, Liam, do you guys still have that slide? I'm not familiar with the song, but it said Jesus, 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 something about the fear bowing. What song is that? Oh, good, 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 good. Okay. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Are you experiencing that? Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Are you experiencing that? Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes I think we sing stuff like that and we're like, yeah, Lord, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says, here's what I want you to do today. And we're like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, 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 no. No, make the darkness tremble over there. I'm gonna sit over here and pray. Right? Like I got like, oh, Father, oh, you know, like, but like, do you realize some of the stuff we sing sometimes is dangerous? Don't you know it's dangerous? I surrender some. I surrender all the stuff that makes me comfortable. But, I mean, we gotta keep it real. We gotta keep it real. We have to start with us. We have to start with us. This is the best time to be alive because this is what we asked for. So let's do it. Let's do it. And when I say let's do it, let's not wait for other people to do it. Nobody's coming, by the way. Do you know that? Nobody's coming. Nobody's coming to fix the world. Nobody's coming to fix our politics. Nobody's coming to fix the poverty problem. Nobody's coming to fix Baltimore. Nobody's coming. They never have been coming. You know why? Because we're already here. And I'm telling you, Jesus people, you need to remember what is inside of you. Paul says that the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. Okay, just, I'm gonna give you 20 seconds. You let that blow your mind for 20 seconds. Go ahead. Go ahead. Because don't we read that fast? The very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that is alive in me. Got it. What? You know how crazy that is? The very same power that raised our Lord from the dead, like raised a dead man, is alive. Alive in us. That is stupid. I mean, seriously, is scripture still blowing your mind? That is crazy talk, isn't it? Little old us? Yes. So nobody's coming because we're already here. We're already here. And it's time. It's time for all of us to be generous with our life. All that stuff we sang this morning about fear, bow, chains, bow, something else, bow, like all of that, right? All of that. Don't wait 6 months from now for fear to bow. That's a present song. Now. Right now. Right now. So if we were at a retreat that I would lead, I would lead you through an hour of writing in a journal. What are you afraid of? What scares you? What are you afraid of? Do you know? Do you have the courage to write it out? Do you have the courage to say, you know what? God, I know you've called me to justice and mission, but honestly, I don't feel like I have a voice because I'm white. I'm going to go there today. I'm scared. I'm scared of people questioning my heart. I'm tired of people thinking I'm a racist. I'm just trying to learn. Nobody will teach me. I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared to change the structure of my church so that people that don't look like me can come and feel welcome. I'm scared because I'm afraid of the doors closing, if I'm honest. I'm afraid of the budget dropping. I'm afraid of people not coming. I'm afraid of people feeling alienated. Do you have the courage today to write that out and give it to the Lord? Because I guarantee you, if you're honest with yourself, He will give you what's true. You know what's true? There's no mistake in your culture and your color, white people. I'm talking to you first today because you get left out on this side of things. God made no mistake. And the reason you're in this room and you have the call to justice in mission is because how God made you, white and all, is exactly what is needed right now in order for you to be light in dark spaces, right next to your non-white brothers and sisters who say, come on, come on. You have the courage to face your fear. Because if you don't, it doesn't matter how many times you sing, fear, bow, chains, bow. It's not going to happen. And then a year from now at this conference, we're going to be wondering, I wonder why things haven't changed. We're just scared. For some of you, you're in a culture group that is non-majority. And your fear is something different. Your fear is, I really want to help teach people, coach people, and what to do, but I'm really afraid that my culture is going to think I'm a sellout. Why are you helping them? Why are you saying anything? Why are you doing that? You don't have to, girl. You don't have to. That's not your job. Really? I'll be darned if somebody takes away my power and my call in this fight for justice and racial reconciliation. I will be darned if somebody takes that away. Ain't nobody taking that away from me, right? Because let me tell you that the way that you've been made, particularly if you're non-majority culture in this room, is exactly what God intended for such a time as this, in this beautiful time that we get to be alive as Jesus people. Doesn't that excite you? Like, there's no mistake. God made no mistake with any of you. And if we don't start there, we cannot move forward. If you don't know what you have, you will not value it. You don't want to share it, right? You won't give the gift of yourself if you don't think you're a gift. The life of Christ in you is a gift. It is the gift in itself. So give it. Give it generously. It is like us entering into what the Bible calls the suffering of Christ. You've heard that before? Like we enter into the sufferings of Christ. And in this work on racial reconciliation, justice, and culture, we all carry our own burden and our own suffering. The great thing is, for those of us that know Jesus, we get to enter into suffering. Doesn't that sound exciting? No, thank you. All right, no, thank you. Nobody wants to enter into suffering. But we get to, right? In my pain, in my fear, in my shackles, in all of this, I get to extend grace to you. I get to show you one more time when I'm tired what needs to happen. I get to have conversation and ask you again about your culture when I'm frustrated because you don't hear me. We get to. We get to enter into the suffering of our God so that we might identify with him even more. Oh man, it's a good time to be alive. Isn't it a good time to be alive? It's exactly what you asked for. Yes, I love it. So you might ask yourself, because you know we don't know each other, what do you know about all this? So like I said, I had the privilege of working to build a ministry of over 17 years at a church right up the road as a worship pastor. And it's an intentionally multicultural church that is focused around building bridges into our community. And I've seen a lot over the last 17 years. I've learned a lot, I've seen a lot. And one of the things I love is the beauty of a diverse space, the beauty of a multicultural church, the beauty, like we get, isn't there a lot to learn? Like we have so much to learn, all of us. We have so much to learn. I'll never forget the first time that I had an older Korean gentleman serving in my ministry. And he was probably in his 60s, maybe 70s. And in Korea, he was a moksanim, he was a pastor. And so I remember the first time I met him, I was like, hey! And I run over to him and I just hug him. You know, I'm like, hey, so glad you're here, because that's me. I'm like, like, so glad you're here. And he's like, how you doing? You know? And so afterwards, I was talking to one of my friends who's Korean American, and he says, yeah, you know, they don't really do that in Korea. They don't? Yeah, they don't really do that. I'm like, okay, well, what do they do? He's like, well, you know, here's what you would do. You know, when you see somebody that's older than you, you know, you would bow, and you wouldn't look them in the eye, and you would, you know, annyeonghaseyo, moksanim. And that's pretty much it. Oh. Thank you. So next time I saw this guy, Pastor Soul was his name, I walked up to him and he was like, you know, because I'm tall. And so I'm like, annyeonghaseyo, moksanim. He goes, oh! And he goes, like, yes! Yes, yes, yes! All right, but you just learned so much. And we built a bridge that day, he and I. We built a bridge, and the funny thing was, that's how we would connect with each other every time. After that, I would go, and I say, oh, what's my name? And he would just, which is really great. But I love the beauty of that, because that is the place where you're doing life together as a community, where you are now starting to embrace each other's culture, where he's willing to share with me, I'm willing to share with him, right? Because we love each other. And that is why I believe that this mission that we have been given by Jesus starts with people of faith. That's not going to happen at Verizon. Right? It's not going to happen. Let me tell you, that is not going to happen down at the Korean-owned shop down the street. With me and an old Korean man? It's not going to happen. Right? It happens because Jesus is the center of that community of faith as it is learning to live and move and breathe with one another, right? That is why the multicultural church is so important. That is why in 2019, it is not okay anymore for us to only do ministry with people that look like us. If you, now I'm not saying, some people say it was every church called to be multicultural. I would say yes, because I believe it's the heart of God. But if you are in an ethnic church that serves an ethnic community here, I would even encourage you and say, you need to be worshiping with other people too. Right? I mean, A, take God out of it. It's a good idea. Have you seen it out there? It's a good idea, right? But more than that, it is God's heart. So every time that you enter a space and you only see people that look like you, something's wrong. Something is wrong, I'm telling you. Something's wrong. And I believe we get so used to just worshiping with people like us that we literally think it's okay. Like, we don't poke it. Do you poke it? We don't poke it. So check this out. In Revelation chapter 7, we have our only model of worship in the Bible, in the New Testament. Okay? I mean, if you look, there's no, like, in the Gospels, like, you'll see Jesus with his disciples singing a hymn. They're like, oh, they sang a hymn, they went on. But, like, a worship service, right? People come together. And I'll tell you what it's not. This is not the vision. John says, and then I looked, and there it was, a crowd of too many people to count. And they were there in white robes. And at 10 a.m., the white people started. And and then they finished at 10:50. And then at... Come on, you know I'm right. And then... And then over here, the African American church started, and they started at 11-ish and went until 6 p.m. and then and didn't want to stop. And then the Hispanic service started in the basement of heaven. And they sang in Spanish, and nobody else bothered them because they didn't understand. Doesn't say that. Don't take my word for it, by the way, because it could say that. No, it doesn't say that, right? What it says is, the vision is, I looked and it looked like this room. That's the vision, right? I looked and there were people from everywhere. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every language, and you know what they were doing? They were all centered around Jesus, and they were worshiping. And they said, salvation comes from... Oh! What? Salvation comes from... Our God. Not your God, and your God, and the God of the black people, and the God of the Korean people, and the God of the Vietnam... Our God. It's a good day to be alive. Isn't it a good time to be alive? Oh my goodness. So I'm going to let you know that anytime you come together with people that are different than you, you can guarantee that God is pleased. You may not be able to say that for everything in your life. But with this thing, you need to know that God is pleased. Justice should never exist apart from Jesus. Justice for believers should never exist apart from Jesus. He is our mission. And I think our challenge right now in the church is, are we willing to practice justice as Jesus said we should, not as the world says we should? Because remember, we can certainly find practices from the world that are good, right? We can. But if it is disconnected from Jesus and how he has asked us to practice the mission, it's nothingness. It's nothingness. Because remember, he said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? We can never separate justice and Jesus, ever, people of God. We cannot do it. He is our mission. We only know mission because we know Jesus. Remember that. And so because of that, we must do this work as he has asked us to do. Then the next question would be, well, then how is that? I'm going to read you scripture that we always hate to read. Here's one way. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? Think about your mission. Think about justice. Paul says this, always be humble and gentle. What? But we talk about justice here, Lord. Uh-uh. Always be humble and gentle, people of God. He's not talking to an unbelieving world. Us. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Be patient with each other. Oh, I don't like this part. Making allowance for each other's faults. I kid you not, it's in here. I'm not making this up. It's Ephesians chapter 4, okay? This is the practice of justice for believers. I'm sorry. It says, make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. He doesn't just say, yeah, this is a good idea, just go do it. He says, no, no, no. You know how you can do it? Because you love each other, right? That's the greatest command. This is what else he says. Verse 3, make every effort. Right, like, I tried to talk to my friend, but they thought I was a racist, so I'm done. Is that every effort? No, come on, you get your hand slapped, you get back in there. You can do hard things. You're still living. You did a hard thing, right? My friend don't understand me one more time. If I tell them one more time about what Black Lives Matter means, yeah, get back in there. Get back in there. Be patient. Why? Because that is the practice of justice through the eyes of Jesus. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. You can bind something together with peace? It says, for there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Oh, that's exciting, right? Because Jesus calls us into justice, and then he tells us how to do it. But we don't always like the how. We don't like that practice. It's a lot easier sometimes to just scream at somebody your point and run off, right? But that's not the way of Jesus. That is justice that is not connected to Jesus. This is how he says. I'm going to tell you another way he says to do it. Oh, man. It's hard stuff. Thank you. This is found in the book of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, depending on your translation, faithfulness sometimes, right? Self-control. Justice connected to Jesus. I believe that this is what will mark our generation in the church. These things. That justice will happen connected to Jesus, because these things will be the mark of the believers. Doesn't that just resonate with you when you think about it, when you think about the person who Christ is? These are the things that will mark this generation. And it's not something we have to hope for, because the scripture says, if the Spirit of Christ is living in us, then these things come out of our life. Justice in mission must be connected to Jesus. He is our mission. We only know justice because we know Jesus. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul says this. Oh my gosh, this book is so awesome. I hope scripture still blows your mind, guys. Oh my goodness. Crazy stuff in here. He says, you are members of God's family. So all of you that feel like you don't belong, you belong here. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house. Together, not separate. Together, we are his house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone, the mission, is Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. The promise of God. I want you to be excited today, because this is the best time in history to be alive and to know Jesus, because we have the answer to this one, y'all. We may not have the answer to a lot of things, but this thing, we have the answer to. But justice can never be separated from Jesus, and he cares about our practice of justice. So make sure that this generation of believers is marked by the practices of Jesus together. Thank you.